Chapter 119. With the great national department. A hard case it has been, and a hard case it is on Deutsch, apostrophe he finished by saying, with all the honest feeling the topic roused in him. Hard indeed, apostrophe Panks acquiesced. But you manage for him, Mr. Clennam? ? How do you mean? ? Manage the money part of the business? ? Yes. As well as I can. ? Manage it better, sir, said Panks. Recompense him for his toils and disappointments. Give him the chances of the time. He'll never benefit himself in that way, patient and preoccupied workman. He looks to you, sir. ? I do my best, Panks, returned Clennam, uneasily. As to duly weighing and considering these new enterprises, of which I have had no experience, I doubt if I am fit for it. I am growing old. Growing old? ? Cried Panks. Ha, ha. There was something so indubitably genuine in the wonderful laugh, a series of snorts and puffs, engendered in Mr. Panks' astonishment at, and utter rejection of, the idea that his being quite in earnest could not be questioned. Growing old? Cried Panks. Hear, hear, hear. Old? Hear him. The positive refusal expressed in Mr. Panks' continued snorts, no less than in these exclamations, to entertain the sentiment for a single instant, drove Arthur away from it. Indeed, he was fearful of something happening to Mr. Panks in the violent conflict that took place between the breath he jerked out of himself, and the smoke he jerked into himself. This abandonment of the second topic threw him on the third. Young, old, or middle-aged, Panks, he said, when there was a favorable pause, I am in a very anxious and uncertain state. A state that even leads me to doubt whether anything now seeming to belong to me may be really mine. Shall I tell you how this is? Shall I put a great trust in you? You shall, sir, said Panks, if you believe me worthy of it. I do. You may. Mr. Panks' short and sharp rejoinder, confirmed by the sudden outstretching of his coaly hand, was most expressive and convincing. Arthur shook the hand warmly. He then, softening the nature of his old apprehensions as much as was possible consistently with their being made intelligible, and never alluding to his mother by name, but speaking vaguely of a relation of his, confided to Mr. Panks a broad outline of the misgivings he entertained, and of the interview he had witnessed. Mr. Panks listened with such interest that, regardless of the charms of the eastern pipe, he put it in the grate among the fire irons, and occupied his hands during the whole recital in so erecting the loops and hooks of hair all over his head, that he looked, when it came to a conclusion, like a journeyman Hamlet in conversation with his father's spirit. Brings me back, sir, was his exclamation then, with a startling touch on Clennam's knee, brings me back, sir, to the investments. I don't say anything of your making yourself poor to repair a wrong you never committed. That's you. A man must be himself. But I say this, fearing you may want money, to save your own blood from exposure, and disgrace make as much as you can. Arthur shook his head, but looked at him thoughtfully too. Be as rich as you can, sir, Panks adjured him with a powerful concentration of all his energies on the advice. Be as rich as you honestly can. It's your duty. Not for your sake, but for the sake of others. Take time by the forelock. Poor Mr. Deutsch, who really is growing old, depends upon you. Your relative depends upon you. You don't know what depends upon you. Well. Returned Arthur. Enough for tonight. One word more, Mr. Clennam, retorted Panks, and then enough for tonight. Why should you leave all the gains to the gluttons, knaves, and impostors? Why should you leave all the gains that are to be got to my proprietor and the like of him? Yet you're always doing it. When I say you, I mean such men as you. You know you are. Why, I see it every day of my life. I see nothing else. It's my business to see it. Therefore I say, apostrophe urged Panks, go in and win. ... but what of go in and lose? ... said Arthur. Can't be done, sir, returned Panks. I have looked into it. Name up everywhere immense resources, enormous capital, great position, high connection, government influence. Can't be done. ... Gradually, after this closing exposition, Mr. Panks subsided, allowed his hair to droop as much as it ever would droop on the utmost persuasion, reclaimed the pipe from the fire irons, filled it anew, and smoked it out. They said little more, but were company to one another in silently pursuing the same subjects, and did not part until midnight. On taking his leave, Mr. Panks, when he had shaken hands with Clennam, worked completely round him, before he steamed out at the door. This, Arthur received as an assurance, that he might implicitly rely on Panks, if he ever should come to need assistance, either in any of the matters, of which they had spoken that night, or any other subject, that could in any way affect himself. At intervals all next day, and even while his attention was fixed on other things, he thought of Mr. Panks' investment of his £1,000, and of his having looked into it. ... He thought of Mr. Panks being so sanguine in this matter, and of his not being usually of a sanguine character. He thought of the great national department, and of the delight it would be to him to see Doyce better off. He thought of the darkly threatening place that went by the name of home in his remembrance, and of the gathering shadows which made it yet more darkly threatening than of old. He observed anew that wherever he went, he saw, or heard, or touched, the celebrated name of Myrtle. He found it difficult, even to remain at his desk a couple of hours, without having it presented to one of his bodily senses through some agency or other. He began to think it was curious too, that it should be everywhere, and that nobody but he should seem to have any mistrust of it. Though indeed he began to remember, when he got to this, even he did not mistrust it, he had only happened to keep aloof from it. Such symptoms, when a disease of the kind is rife, are usually the signs of sickening. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.